Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Fellow Americans, it is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And I know this because I checked again today, as I do almost every day, and it hasn't changed yet. It is Thursday, as they say, down in New York, June the 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2015, as we begin to slide on into the weekend. Yesterday, look, folks, I know everybody's chomping at the bit about the SCOTUS ruling on Obamacare. Trust me, I will delve into that. I will get into that. And let me just say this. It is not time to panic. I was listening to some people today and they were just all over the place, you know, acting like they were panicking. We've lost the nation. Oh my, everything's over. It's all done. No, just sit back, relax. It is not time to panic. I will tell you when it's time to panic, because if I tell you it's time to panic, you know, it's really time to panic. But we're not near that yet. So we'll get into that. So sit back and relax. Yesterday, I was down in Connecticut. And I was, it wasn't really an interview. I was invited to be, you know what? I just had their information and I, they have a radio show and a TV show. And, now, I got to tell you, the engineer, his name is Jeff. He was a cute kid. I mean, he's 20, early 20-something, maybe 22, 23. But typical. But anyway, he kind of reminded me of Alex P. Keaton, you know, that character. But in today's stand, you know, with the baseball hat instead of the tie, but that's who he looked like. He looked like a younger, what is it, Michael J. Fox. He really did. He looked like a young Michael J. Fox. Very kind of, not a very outgoing type of person or kid, you know, kind of a little bit on the mousy side, but you know, he was cute. He had a cute personality. You know, it's amazing how just the other day I was talking about how the millennials, we may have lost that generation. Now, here's a kid who's, you know, right in there with the millennials, who understands conservatism and he's fully in there supporting it and you know, being the engineer and everything for this program, but he fully understands conservatism and constitutionalism. And it gave me hope that maybe we haven't totally lost, the millennials. And, simply just by, you know, talking to this one young man and one of the people that I was doing the program with that invited me down, her name is Daria. She invited me back to her house after the taping of the television show, and for a barbecue, and where I got to meet her son, who happens to be, I guess, sort of quasi genius, because the kid is what, 18 or 19 years old, and he's already a second semester junior in college. So it means he started early. But he really is trying to become a rocket scientist. You know, he's talking about NASA, and we were talking about NASA space exploration. We were talking about the potential for human beings in the future and human medicine and everything, and basically in space travel and the effects in the human body. Now, I got to admit, a lot of that discussion kind of went over my head because I'm not a rocket scientist. But it was kind of interesting to see him light up about these different subjects that we were talking about as it pertained to all that stuff. We even got into DNA discussion and even threw in, a bunch of Star Trek stuff. But again, another young person, who was really thinking more along the lines of being a conservative and not looking for government handouts and looking and saying, we've got a lot, there's a lot that's happening, with NASA and the space programs, the private space programs and the government space programs. And we're going to bring in, because we need private industry to really make all of this stuff flourish. That's not a democratic ideal, by the way. That's a conservative ideal. So here's a kid who's 19 years old. Who gets it? Again, a millennial. So, in one day, I get two millennials who give me back faith that we haven't totally and completely lost that generation. They understand it, and they get it. If you want to give me a call this evening, you can still do that. The number is toll-free, 603-835-3224, and as I say that, I do have a caller on the line. Let's bring in 802. What is on your mind? You're on the Rod Eccles Show.
Hey, Rod, how you doing?
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
This is Ed Gilbert.
Oh, hi, Ed. How are you?
Very good, Rod. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Just wanted to give you an update on what's going on up here in Vermont.
The land of Bernie Sanders, by the way, for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda who don't know where Vermont is. It's right next door to New Hampshire.
That's great. That's correct. Kind of the sister state, but on kind of a different political scale, depending how you look at it. Just wanted to give you an update. The Green Mountain Republicans website has been launched. Plus, I'd like to give you a personal invite to the some of the upcoming events coming at the University of Vermont, North University, and at Dartmouth College that we're about ready to make some announcements for here in the very near future.
Oh, wow. I would be honored. Dartmouth College, that's not exactly a conservative bastion of intellectual thought. I would love to go up there.
Well, I hope so, Rod. We got, I know up at the University of Vermont, things are getting firmed up now, but Jeb Bush is supposed to be coming up to the campus to visit. We got a couple events going on that are still in the works at North University, and we're getting a few candidates to come up at Dartmouth College to hopefully give a candidate forum introduction to the student body up there and get a chance to really, press, shake hands, really meet the candidates and ask them the questions directly.
That would be awesome. That'd be great. I really appreciate that. Yes. Would love to.
Well, it's an invite, Ron. I'm kind of hoping that you're going to come to these events that we have and, have an opportunity to interview the candidates yourself.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure they want me to interview them, but because I would probably ask them really tough questions that they don't want to have to answer right now. But I would still do that. And you know what?
Well, we could probably listen, Rod, other than Hillary Clinton, who's avoiding the hard questions, listen, I got a feeling most of the candidates are going to be willing to stand up and address the questions that you're willing to fire at them.
Are you saying Hillary won't be there?
I have nothing to do with Hillary Rodham Clinton's schedule, and probably knowing the posts that I've posted, trying to ask some strong questions myself. I cannot guarantee Hillary Rodham Clinton's appearance whatsoever.
Oh, that's too bad. I would love to actually be able to sit down with that, or just stand up with that woman, because she'd probably be wanting to run away when she, hears me talking to her. I ain't no ways tired.
Well, she's already banned Fox News, so we'll have to see how if that ends up hurting her down the campaign trail, or if it ends up helping her. I really doubt it's gonna help her in any way. But
I can see it now. Yes, I want to ban that Fox News, and I want to ban that Confederate flag, and I want to ban that Rod Eccles.
Well, you know what? You bring up a great point. I mean, their campaign pin, the Clinton Gore, the 92 campaign pin that recently came out. I never knew that they had a campaign pin designed with the Confederate flag as one of their campaign slogans.
They have all kinds of Confederate types of. Well, let's face it. Billy Boy is. He's a good old boy from down south. Arkansas. You don't get to be Arkansas governor by. As many times as he was reelected, as many times as he was down there by dissing the Confederate battle flag, they fully embrace it, which is kind of hypocritical of them now, in my book. And you know what? I don't think a lot of blacks, a lot of African Americans, are buying it this time from her.
I hope not, Ron.
There's because, just too much evidence of them using it before and being proud of it. It is just way too much.
Like you said, I mean, it was a historical flag during the Civil War. It represented the Confederate Army. It represented, a lot of the anti-abolishment movement of the South at the time. What's scary is the fact that a lot of American history, as much as many people feel that they know their history, they tend to misuse it or misrepresent it when it benefits them in a political forum. But I feel, if anything, it's definitely the voters of the South need to address it. And I mean, every single registered American voter down there, I feel it's rather offensive as well. Although from a historical point of view, if anything, it should be taken down from the Capitol buildings or whatever and put into a, historical museum represented in a Civil War learning, environment.
Yeah, it should not be. It should not be flying above state capitals. You're absolutely. It shouldn't be in government. Look, this is a flag that represents a defeated rebellion, a defeated country, if you will. I've never seen any government fly the flag of a defeated and vanquished foe before. So it needs to go from that. But as far as banning it, so everybody, why don't you, if you're going to do that, if you're going to ban the rebel flag, then I think it's time that you also start banning the swastika and the Nazi flag. You start banning the old Soviet Union flag, the CCCP. You ban the Chavez, all the Chavez products with his picture, nothing but communism, basically, is all he's all about. Why are we targeting just this particular flag? Well, it has some political expediency because of good old Rahm Emanuel, never let a good, tragedy go to waste, basically. And I'm even though I know what the flag stands for, and what it means, I also know what's behind them. And today, one of the things that Rush said a couple of days ago about them going after the rebel flag, that this is just the beginning, that they would be going after the U.S. flag next. And today, there it is. Louis Farrakhan is out there saying, we got to bring down the United States flag because it's a flag of oppression as well. And look, this is not about the Confederate flag. This is not about the Confederate states. This is not about the Civil War. This is not about... this kid walking into a black church and shooting up, shooting dead 9 people. This is all about liberals advancing their mantra on how bad this country is.
Well, Rod, that is an outstanding point. And as much as they love to beat up on this country, it is a young 239-year-old democracy. many of the, like you said, the swastika, whether it's the Soviet Union flag and sickle of communism. I mean, Vladimir Putin himself seems like he's trying to go back to a Soviet Union 2.0, being a former KGB agent who, you know, was right in the heart and soul of Perestroika, Boris Yeltsin, Gorbachev. You know, a lot of people, they tend to forget these historical events. They tend to forget the people who helped the Soviet people at the time. It was several billion dollars of, you know, American taxpayer money to keep that country afloat for a while they work things out. I mean, as bad as everybody loves to try to trash America, at least the one thing that we do learn from is history. And I, you know, I'm not saying we're perfect. We're still an evolving democracy. But the American flag, the moment that flag comes down and, you know, they start trying to trash that and remove that from any piece of American soil, the folks that are trying to remove it, I want them to give back all the American currency that they have stashed away in their banks and their retirement funds as well. So,
yeah, I'm sure Louis Farrakhan is being paid with U.S. dollars and not, you know, rubles or something. But
yeah, I don't think he's definitely not accepting rubles these days, that's for sure.
But you bring up a good point. I think it's quite amazing. You know, they say how much they hate America, but, you know, they obviously bask in all that it has to offer. I don't see them volunteering to go anywhere else, not even to Canada. Hey, if you don't like the U.S., you don't got to go far. Just go to Mexico or Canada. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't want to go to Mexico because you might get, you know, killed down there. But Canada's safe. They'd probably welcome you. You know, they've been trying to boost their population because they're on a negative population slide with 33 million and going south. You know, Canada wants to boost their population. So go up there. If you don't like the United States, there's lots of room.
I agree, Rod. A lot of people take for granted what the freedoms and the protections and what was paid for in blood by many of their own ancestors for that American flag to fly on the freest country of the planet. You know, as many people as they try to trash this country, they were lucky to be born, raised, had that opportunity to express themselves freely, openly. You know, I wish they would probably think a little bit before they speak, but a lot of the folks that do that really do not know their history, really do not know. They're you know, living off of the past hates, the past abides in one way, shape, or form.
A lot of times, too,
it definitely identifies the insecurity that they're still trying to address to this day. But
yeah,
that's the way it works
sometimes.
We are
by far not a perfect country. You know, our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence basically states, you know, that we're trying to form a more perfect union, meaning that we're supposed to progress to a more perfect kind of governance and country. And we're not going in the right direction as we are right now. But yeah, our founding fathers knew that there is no such thing as a perfect nation or a perfect government because it's all created and run by man. There's going to be problems. You know, we've made mistakes as a nation in our history, and a lot of those mistakes we've owned up to. A lot of those mistakes maybe we were not owning up to for one reason or another. But this whole notion about the human rights and slavery and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, we continue to have, you know, I was talking to Dr. Alveda King. She happens to be the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I asked her basically about Dr. King's vision, you know, and his dream. You know, I have a dream that, you know, we're going to be a colorless nation one day. I asked her if we're closer to his dream or farther from his dream. And she said, we're close. We're very close. So the whole notion, it basically is that we have certain people out there on the left that want to continue and foist this idea that we're a racist nation because it serves their back pocket. It serves their wallet. It serves their ability to stay in power. Plain and simple.
I agree.
They're trying to divide us.
You're right.
Let's face it. You cannot tell me that we're not closer. We've got an African-American, well, not African-American, but we've got a half-black president.
You know, listen, that was a huge milestone for our country as a whole. I feel President Obama, although I don't agree with all of his policies or the, you know, some of the directions that he's taking this country, and I definitely disagree with his foreign policy in the Middle East at this point. However, he is still my president. I will still, you know, fight for the democracy that I was brought up believing into, that I fought for in the U.S. Naval Submarine Service as a U.S. Navy diver, even in the 3rd and 124th IO Battalion at Norris University. I'll always protect my president. However, I will also only support the policies that I feel are in the best interest of the American taxpayers, the American voters, and that protect our best interests. I mean, that's what every red, white, and blue. I want to be able to live the American dream like anybody else, and I want my children to live it, and I want them to have that same passion and opportunity for both my two sons and my daughter. I want her to have the same exact opportunities that everybody else gets to dream about and try to build their own piece of the American slice of pie, their own American dream, whether it's building a corporation or a company, whatever it is. I want them to be able to at least pursue those dreams and live in a free society that they're able to express themselves without being herded up, taken to some back portion of the woods and disposed of because they're not agreed with politically.
I too want every day to be the 4th of July in this country. And you know, it's, I can't help it. I love the United States of America. I do. I'll admit it. I'm not going to hide it. It is a grand country. I think, you know, I might be a little biased, but I think it is the greatest country that has ever graced the face of this planet. And historically speaking, I don't think there's ever been anything created that has been better. Where so many people, it doesn't matter what your class is, you know, what your social strata is, when you're in the United States, you have the opportunity to work as hard and as smart as you want to change your socioeconomic standing. You don't necessarily have that opportunity in too many other nations. You know, whatever class or socioeconomic class that you were born in is probably this, you know, the class that you're going to die in. That doesn't have to be the case in the United States of America. You can make your own way. You can go, you can go from the bottom to the top, but, you know, you also can, that also means you can go from the top to the bottom. But it's your choice, and that's where government can't make that decision for you. I know we have people out there that think that they can because they say, you know, everybody who makes it, you know, that smart kid who went to college or learned computer programming and built something called Facebook. Well, he's the winner of life's lottery. You know, he didn't build that. I don't know. I would like somebody to tell that to Mark Zuckerberg. Hey, Zucky, you didn't build that.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, there's several entrepreneurs that have come from dirt poverty who have built their dreams, who are multimillionaires, several multi-billionaires these days. And like you said, I would love to see someone in Beijing, China, rip down their flag and stomp all over it in front of their government and have the kind of freedoms and protections that, because I was off the coast of China when Tiananmen Square went down, serving on the USS Hawkbill, and we got to pull into Hong Kong less than a week or so after that event.
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off right there. I've got a hard break coming up.
All right, hey, Russ, listen, I appreciate it. It was great talking to you. Look for those invites. We'll be in touch. I would love to have you come up to the University of Vermont, Norris University, and up at Dartmouth College for some of the events.
I would definitely love to. Talk to you soon.
Hey, have a great evening, and thanks for letting me on your show.
Sure thing. We'll be right back, folks.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Welcome back. My fellow Americans, it is still I who am your lovable host here on the Rod Eccles Show. Hey, the Supreme Court upholds Obamacare subsidies. Now, I can hear the collective conservative sighing out there. And look, I was kind of buttressing people into understanding that this is the way it could have gone one of two ways. Now, it could have gone where Justice Roberts was going to try to redeem himself for the pathetic, pitiful way that he allowed Obamacare to come into law in the first place. Or, which was more likely the case, he was going to reaffirm that he was correct in his previous judgment, and that he was going to allow this to stand. Now, I got to tell you, looking at, you know, reading the opinion of these of the justices, I do not understand the logic. Yeah, you know, you can sort of understand the intent, but look, the people who crafted the law, the people who know more about this law than anybody, people who wrote, you know, parts of the law, who you know, debated parts of the law, you know, they're the ones saying this is not right. This is, should not be legal. It is specifically clear on these exchanges what must happen. And the reason why they did it that way is to try to force the states into capitulating. Instead, you know, some of the states, a lot of the states got bold and said, no, we're not going to follow through on this. And you can't make us. Nah, 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 nah. And so they decided, well, we're just going to go ahead and do it ourselves. But that's not what the law says. And somehow, you know, the justices on the Supreme Court, six of them have decided, well, government can do whatever it damn well pleases. Because it is the intent. It isn't, you know, what the law says. It's the intent. Now, I'm sorry, but there is no intent there because the law was pretty specific about what their intent was. It was tried to rope most of the state, or the majority of the states, into having an exchange system so that the federal government wouldn't have to pay for it. So they could claim that it's, you know, saving all this kinds of money because, you know, it wouldn't show up on federal books. That's what the whole, that was the intent. But instead, the states thumbed their nose up at the Fed and said, we're not doing it because we're not putting this debt on our books. You handle it. Oh, wait, you can't because it's not the way you wrote the law. But instead of following the law, they decided that they were going to break the law and say, well, you know, we intended it for the law to be this way. And so now six justices said, well, yeah, they intended it to be this way. So now the precedent has been set that the government doesn't actually have to follow the letter of the law. Now, folks, I can't tell you how dangerous that is. The federal government now doesn't have to follow the letter of the law. They can follow the intent of the law. And who's going to determine what the intent is? Well, the person who's pressing the law at that particular point in time is going to determine what the intent is. And because they're doing it with the intent, well, they have precedent saying, you know, we can do this. The Supreme Court said so. But more importantly, I know what they were thinking is, well, geez, you know, we have, you know, about 6.5 million people who are receiving. You know what I can't stand? I cannot stand this phony, fake number from the left talking about how many additional insured people there are on Obamacare. First of all, the latest number I heard is nearly 17 million. First of all, that's a lie. Well, it's not nearly 17 million people new insured. You're talking a big bulk of that used to be insured in the private sector, and now they're insured on the Obamacare side. And frankly, it should be a lot more than that. And I know some people are saying, what do you mean it should be more than that? Rod, it takes time. No, it doesn't take time. Remember, there is a law that says you have to have it. So basically what they are out there touting as a big deal is actually proof of the American people's rejection of this law. If you've only got an additional 16 or 17 million people, and the law says that they have to have insurance, everybody has to have it, and only 16 or 17 million additional people have gotten it, that means your law is a failure. Because people, they can't afford it. They don't want it. They don't need it. For whatever reason, they're rebuffing it. So this notion, oh yeah, we got 17 million new, you know, people on it. Even if that number was absolutely true, it is an abysmal failure based on that number. I mean, I don't know how you end up, you have a law that says that everybody must have health insurance. And then you only get an additional 16 million people. So in other words, if that's all that needed it, that didn't have it before, then why did we have this law? It's only 16 million people out of 230 million. Why did we need this law to fit 16 or 17 million people and put them on health insurance plans out of 230 million? If that's all we had to do was just insure 16 or 17 million people. Oh, so it isn't 16 or 17. It is far more. So in other words, your law is a failure. But they can't say that. They have to tell, well, it takes time. No, it doesn't take time. Not in this case. If it's a voluntary system, yeah, it takes time. But this isn't voluntary. This is mandatory. You don't get a choice. Plain and simple. So this is a failure. A total, utter, complete failure. Just say it. Go ahead. All you Obama fans out there, go ahead and say it. Say, this is a failure. And it's taken the Supreme Court to basically prop it up. Because, you know, all these states didn't have exchanges. So if you decided, think about this. If there's only 17 million people, new policies, and 6.5 million of them are on the federal government exchange, and they strike down the federal government exchange system. That means 6.5 million people probably lose their coverage, which now that 17 million is what, 10.5? 10.5 million. Yeah, is that still a success? Yeah, no, I don't think so. But, you know, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion for the four Democrats appointed and Justice Anthony Kennedy, saying the Obama administration's interpretation of the Affordable Care Act was lawful. Yeah, lawful. Their interpretation of it. The states must set up exchanges in order for everybody to be able to participate. And Obama's interpretation, well, I think that if states don't have it, then federal government can do it. Basically, that's a kind of a very, very loose interpretation. But everybody's out there saying that Obama is staking his legacy on this law. Now we're all about legacy. I mean, ever since the Clintons, it's all about legacy. What is your legacy going to be? Your legacy is important to everybody. You have to have a legacy that you leave behind. When you leave office, it has to be a legacy that we can all look back on with wonderment and pride. You know, I don't give a rip what a president's legacy is. And I don't think a president should worry about it. And I don't think the lamestream media should worry about the president's legacy. It's going to be what it is based on how he governed. And this guy governed terribly. I mean, he's an awful president. He's just awful. I don't know how else to put, you know, but President Obama is awful. He's a terrible president. No, Rod, he's not a bad guy, really. He really cares. No. He's an awful president. His policies suck. They're damaging. You know, and when we get a new president, and I know it's going to happen. All these people who elect a new president, when we elect a new president in 2016, we may get a real conservative in there. They're going to expect him to fix all this mess in like a year or two. It's not gonna happen, folks. I mean, we're talking about this stuff is so bad and it runs so deep. It is going to take years, possibly multiple presidencies to fix. No, you gotta. I'm just telling you, you're not going to be able to reverse this overnight. And this is one of the things I try to impress people who have this, you know, love for only one candidate. Okay, what happens when that candidate can't run anymore in 8 years and everything isn't fixed? Well, he can fix it. He's going to fix. No, I'm sorry. I don't care who it. You know, Ted Cruz is going to fix it in 4 or 8 years. I it's not going to happen. This is 60 years of screw up. I know there are a few, you know, terms of presidents in there where there was a halt, you know, like Ronald Reagan years. There was a halt to this mess, but you're still looking at 60 plus years of liberalism running rampant. It isn't going to be reversed in 4 years. And not to mention, it's going to take something that is constantly done and battled over year after year. Well, that's kind of disheartening, Rod. Single freaking year. Well, that's exactly what you have to do. You have no other choice. It's not going to be reversed in, you know, I know everybody's going to think, well, geez, well, you know, if Cruz is elected, he better straighten everything out the first 2 months his first 90 days while he's there. And I'm telling you, that's not going to happen either. I don't care who the president, even the Donald. Donald Trump gets elected. Donald Trump is going to build the wall. He's going to build the fence on the southern border. He's not going to do it in his first 90 days. That's just not the way our government works. There's no way to get it to work that way. I mean, you're gonna have people on the left that are gonna have all kinds of conniptions and start, you know, suing the new administration over all kinds of things. And some of that stuff is going to have to work its way up to the Supreme Court, and that takes time. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm just telling you. I'm not telling you this so that you lose heart or lose hope, but I'm telling you so you can have more realistic expectations. So you don't get frustrated and burned out and just, you know, huff and puff in the corner someplace and pout. Because the last time Americans pouted, we ended up with Barack Obama. And then we end up with a law that was challenged and goes all the way to the Supreme Court, which everybody knew was just going to, oh, there's no way that they could possibly find this to be legal. And they did. Oh, there's no possible way they can find all of these subsidies legal. And they did. So what else is next? Oh, there's no possible way that they could think that gay marriage is legal. And I'm predicting to you right now, they will. The course that this court has taken, they will find that gay marriage is A-okay. Well, there's no possible way. Well, yeah, there is a possible way. They will. No, don't doubt me, folks. It's going to be an okay thing. If they can find a way to secure the belief that Obamacare twice is legal, you don't think that they're not going to decide that gays have a right to the word marriage? Just saying, you know, they can, you know, you can ban, you know, I bet you, you know, people are going to try to sue to get the rebel flag saved in certain circles, and it's not going to work. But and then somebody's going to just on a whim try to sue to get rid of other symbols or flags like the Soviet Union flag, and that's not going to work either. Because whatever the liberal minority decides is a good or a, you know, if they decide it's bad, it's bad. If the liberal minority decides it's bad, then it's bad for everyone, and nobody can use it. So if the liberal minority decides that the rebel, the Confederate rebel battle flag is bad for everyone, even in a bandana, then nobody's going to be able to have one. Plain and simple. You know, I speaking of the of that, you know, I you know, places like Amazon and eBay are saying they're going to stop selling, you know, the rebel stuff, the Confederacy stuff, and it got me to thinking that there is a shop in Manchester, New Hampshire, that sells Confederate stuff. Now here's the rub. The shop is not owned by a white person. The shop is owned by a Latino. So here's a Latino selling Confederate rebel stuff, and he has no problem with it. Now, I got to tell you, I don't look, you know, there are a lot of, I find it interesting, there are a lot of blacks that don't have a big, huge problem with the Confederate flag. I'm one of, you know, the General Lee. Everybody remember the Dukes. Now, this is how stupid this is getting, folks. And this is really what gets my goat. Now, let me be clear. I do not believe that the Confederate rebel flag should be flying is in any official or non-official capacity over any government institution or building or grounds. It should not be put up by the government. Absolutely not. It should not be in any type of government documentation, any portion or symbol portion thereof. Absolutely. Nothing of the Confederacy should be shown in official documents or flying in an official capacity anywhere in the United States, period. Should not. Not. Let me be clear on that. Should not. However, for the general purpose of having the rebel flag, here's a story from Yahoo. You can say goodbye to the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. The Dukes of Hazzard, people. There was a story also talking about, there was a columnist who says, well, we now should get rid of Gone with the Wind, both the movie and the novel. What are we going to start having film and book burnings now in order to cleanse our country of the Confederate rebel flag and any symbolism thereof? I mean, this is redonkulous, folks. In the wake of a deadly South Carolina shooting, it always comes back to this one incident. All of a sudden, this one little stupid punk of a kid decides to shoot up a black church. By the way, there's another story about a black church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Here it is. A North Carolina black church is set ablaze. No guns. No guns being used here. You know, arsonist targets predominantly black church in Charlotte, North Carolina. The story, it happened Wednesday morning. And we're just hearing is the story is just breaking on Thursday. Although there were no initial indications that the crime was motivated by hate, officials haven't ruled it out. Fire investigator David Williams told this told MSNBC station WCNC. The blaze caused about $250,000 in damage. Now, Pastor Mannix Kinsey said the church's congregation has already forgiven the culprit. Already forgiven. Don't even know who it is. We don't even know who it is that set fire to our wonderful church. We forgive him. We forgive him. We forgive the arsonist. He shouldn't be arsonists in people's buildings like this, but we forgive him. Now, buildings can be repaired. They can be built over, Kinsey told WCNC. This is an opportunity for God to touch the hearts of the individual. You see, God can touch the individual of this horrific sin. It's sin. He done touch the house of God. The Lord is going to be angry, but the Lord will forgive and we can forgive. It says the Lord will forgive and we will forgive. And then you're going to have some fools out there that are thinking, why the hell are these black folks, forgiving these people? Well, because that's the heart of Christianity. It's forgiveness. But we have somebody out there, somebody torched a black church. So now we should get, oh Lord, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that. We need to get rid of fire. Because fire can be dangerous. Somebody can use fire. They'll use fire, in a racist way. They're going to use the fire in a racist way. So we got to get rid of the fire. Only the government can have fire. You peoples out there, you can't have fire. Because you can be racist, especially you white supremacists, man. You can't have, y'all think that you so supreme-y. You can't have fire. So we're going to take the fire. We're going to take all the symbolisms of fire down. So no fire flags and no fire flies, no fire this and no fire that, no fire anywhere. Because, fire is just, it's just evil. It's being used for evil. We're going to get rid of, you can't even say firearm anymore because we're getting rid of fire. Can't have nothing with fire in it. Oh, and we're going to jump up and down and praise the Holy Ghost that there's no more fire. We all going to freeze come wintertime, but hey, we'll all be saved and safe because there'd be no more fire. I know that there are some people out there that are going to try to blast me for that one. But go ahead and try. I give you a free shot. You won't get very far. And just to let you know. So now they're attacking the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. Now I want somebody to look at that program and tell me where there is any racism. Where is there any racism in the Dukes of Hazzard? Well, just some good old boys. Well, yeah, it's good. You know what they probably should do? If they really want to get even and get back at the Confederacy and all that kind of stuff, you know what they should do? And I'm going to be totally serious here. They should do like they did with the torch. They should make Bo and Luke Duke, cast a couple of black actors to be Bo and Luke Duke and see and a black Daisy and see what happens then.